when interest rates go from 3 to 7, you are going to take some people out of the market.
GrowHaze's annual report will be released soon. Stopping by GrowHaze Executive Director Doug Williams to share with us a preview of what we'll be seeing on this episode of the Post Podcast.
2022 was a great year for our community and for GrowHaze, and we've got a lot to talk about and kind of memorialize in this annual report we do every year.
Yeah. I don't know, is there a particular place to start on this, or maybe we just start at the top, talking about sales tax?
Yeah, I think the heart of the report are a number of graphs that reflect statistics, comparative analysis from years prior. So we prepare charts and compare previous years. Sales tax, as an example, sales tax for the city of Hayes last year was up, based on my calculations, about 7.6%. Which is great. That shows that people are buying things and merchants are selling products and services and doing well. So that was great. In addition, of course, we all recently got our valuations
mm-hmm.
on our property tax stuff. And obviously valuations are up. And what we just received were the valuations for 2023. What we report in this annual report is the valuations for 2022 and how they compared to previous years. So they were up as well. Residential valuations were up 12.6% in 2022. Total valuation for the county was up, I believe, 13% or something in that range. Yes. And interestingly, oil valuations were up 81%.
Wow.
Year over year. The way they set oil valuations is the per barrel price in January sets the valuation for the year. So obviously the price per barrel last January, not the one we just went by, but in 2022, mm-hmm. was a lot higher than the previous year in 2021. So a significant increase in oil valuation.
And that really, I mean, explain to us what the impacts of that are. I mean, I would imagine that kind of a jump would really kind of skew some numbers.
Well, to some degree. Now, the thing you have to consider is the level of oil valuation to the overall valuation in the county. The overall valuation in the county, I believe, is about $458 million. The oil valuation reflects $39 million of that, so less than 10%.
Mm.
So a large increase in oil valuation doesn't necessarily mean that things are going to be a lot out of whack. But, the way property taxes work is that all of the taxing entities, the school district, the city, the county, prepare their budgets. They plug that into the valuation and they come up with their mill levy. And then that is what determines your little piece of that valuation is what determines your mill levy. And when you pay your taxes, you're paying for the schools, you're paying for the city and the county and streets and those kind of things. So it goes a lot of different places. And I think people get what people don't understand a lot of times is an increase in valuation does not automatically equate to an increase in property tax. Now, I got in trouble last year when I kind of explained that, and a lot of people took that I was saying that just because your valuation went up means your property taxes aren't going to go up. And the reality is they probably are going to go up. But if everything remained the same, if the city and the county and the school district all spent the same amount of money and valuations go up, the mill levy would go down. Now, we live in a world where things don't stay the same. We're in an inflationary environment and all those entities have increased costs of operation. So they're going to have to pass some of that through to the taxpayer. And I have no doubt that we probably will see some increases in property taxes, but it isn't necessarily relative to exactly what your valuation went up. It could be more, it could be less. So it's a complicated formula. There's a lot of factors involved in it. But as you said, when there's a significant change in valuation, like the oil valuation, that means more dollars will come from oil properties, perhaps meaning we need less from property, residential or commercial properties.
Okay. You know, moving into a different tax area that is on here, the transient guest tax collections, that took a pretty significant jump as well. And even looking back to pre-COVID, you're seeing a huge jump there, right?
It was, I think it was the largest ever. Of course, we increased the transient guest tax a few years ago to pay for some improvements on North Vine. But it based 2022 had bounced back, you know, to pre-COVID numbers and above. And so based on my little calculation, the transient guest tax was up almost 20%, which is significant. And that tells us that our hotels are doing well, or at least being occupied. And I know when I look at some of the reports, the hotel rates have gone up, which we would expect, like everything else in the world, it seems like. But that's a good number, shows that we've got a lot of people coming into the community using our hotels. Another area that we went up on is our pull factor. Our pull factor in Hayes went up 2 points, I believe, from 1.72 to 1.74. But that's a good thing, too. That means that we're importers. We're exporting, I guess, is really what it means. We've got people coming in and spending money in Hayes from outside the community, and that's a good thing. So a good number there as well.
Yeah, and we're seeing that to go going down in other Western Kansas hubs like Garden City and Dodge City, right? Can you explain like why we're seeing the growth and they're going the other way?
You know, they're going the other way just a little bit. We're going up just a little bit.
Yeah, so these are small numbers.
Yeah, it's not significant. But what it does show is that Hayes, Ellis County, continues to be a regional trade area. And the region is very important to us. And that affects sales tax revenues. It affects, in many cases, transient guest tax revenues. And certainly, you know, our overall economy a great deal. So we want to stay in that situation. We want to have a good high pull factor. That's a very good thing. I think we're second or third in the state, and that's great. So, yeah, you're right. Garden and Dodge did go down a little bit last year. We went up a little bit. To specifically say why that was is difficult, but to say that we're still one of the top two or three pull factor communities in the state is very good.
Yeah, and as we've talked about more than a few times here in this segment, that is vital to our economic health in Ellis County, and we've got to keep that going, growing, right, to maintain where we are.
Absolutely. That's why we need, we continue to work on more choices for retail. We continue to try and recruit more retailers. We continue to look at ways to, we talked about Starbond last week or the week before, ways to get people to stop here and come off this interstate highway. These 13,000 cars a day that are going by, we want as many of those to stop as we can and spend money here.
Moving on into a different area that we've talked about quite a bit here in this segment, housing. It looks like some good news, but not great news on that front, right?
Well, you know, the overall sales volume of the Hayes MLS was down a little bit last year, 3.3%. That's kind of to be expected. We had such a hot market, really an overheated market in 2021 and 2020. So I would have expected that to be down a little bit. Interesting sidebar there. The MLS average sales price went to $224,472 based on my numbers. And that's up about 4%. But the county valuation of residential property went up about 12%. So interesting little difference there. I think, you know, the county appraiser gets a lot of heat and really shouldn't, because these are spit out by a computer that they have nothing to do with this. And so, you know, based on your square footage and some other amenities that this computer algorithm or whatever it is going to spit out a valuation for your home. And it, most of the time it gets it right or pretty close. Sometimes it gets it wrong. And that's where they have an appeal process. And I would encourage anybody that feels like their home is overvalued by the county to do their due diligence, call their realtor, ask for some comparable sales, ask if this seems out of line. And if it does, they go in and appeal it, because that's fair. And they're happy to do that. They would, you know, you have to have evidence as to why you think this. You just can't go in and say, my valuation is too high with nothing to back it up. But there absolutely are cases where they are out of whack, and people should go in and appeal it if they in fact have evidence to show that it's too high.
Yeah. Now, correct me if I'm wrong here, but don't the appraisers have a legal obligation to be within a certain percentage of what it ends up actually being?
They do. There's a statutorial requirement that I think they're within 90% overall of the values that the community is supposed to be at based on all the sales information that the state gathers on property sales and things and feeds into this computer system. And it's going to spit out and it's going to say, you've got to be within 90% of this. So a lot of this is out of their hands. But I think they do a great job down at the county appraiser's office. And if you think that your valuation is out of whack, do your research and go down and appeal it. What I find interesting sometimes is people will scream to high heaven about their valuation, and then you ask them if they would sell their home for that, and they say, no way I'd sell it for that price. And so, you know, you can't have it both ways. You've got to be realistic on your approach to this. So it's not an exact science. You know, there's a lot of nuances that come with property valuations, but I would certainly encourage anybody that feels like their valuation is too high to do some research and appeal it if they find that it is too high.
For sure. How did housing inventory come out for the year?
You know, active listings at year end were 48 in the city of Hays at the end of 2022. They were 40 the year before. Again, not surprising. Things have slowed down a little bit. Inventory is up just a little bit. Days on the market went up just a little bit as well. That's the month's supply went up a little bit. And that's the time it takes based on current sales level to go through your inventory. And it went up just a hair. Again, when interest rates go from 3 to 7, you are going to take some people out of the market. And that's what we've had happen. And so the market has slowed a little bit. And yet, when I talk to realtors and look at situations, if a nice property comes on in that 175 to 275 price range, it goes in a hurry. So we still have supply issues. We don't have enough housing in our community. We're working diligently to try and fix some of that, but we can use some more, and we're going to continue to try and fix it.
You know, kind of extrapolating from that, do you see 2023 as being a year where we really start to get a handle on that situation, or is it going to be pushed out another year or beyond?
It's going to be pushed out. Unfortunately, these type of issues are not quickly resolved. You know, you've got to do development of lots and land and multifamily units, and it's never been more difficult to do any of those things in terms of costs and availability of, you know, the supply chain challenges that we face, the labor shortages that we have. I think we've done great in a lot of ways. It's not enough, but we have to do more, and we have to be diligent and looking ahead and understanding that if we're going to experience growth of any sort, we've got to have housing, and to have housing, you've got to plan ahead, and you've got to, you know, a development. When you say, I want to develop this piece of ground, it's a year to 18 months before you can be building anything on there. And so you've got to be looking ahead and trying to get ahead of the game instead of always playing catch up, which is what we're doing now and have been doing for a number of years.
Mm-hmm. You know, on a similar note, I wonder if you want to talk about, you know, now that we've got these numbers kind of compiled into one thing and this report will come out soon, what do you do with that information? How does it influence, you know, policy and decisions, both in your organization and for the greater Ellis County governmental organizations, et cetera?
Well, I think we have to analyze it and use it to understand, as an example in housing, when the month's supply is 2 and a stable market should be 6, meaning you should have 6 months supply of housing and we have 2, we clearly still have a shortage. And we have to be diligent with understanding that we need to do that. I know so many times the tendency is when interest rates rise and economic times get a little bit unstable. You know, we've seen nationally a couple banks fail and this kind of thing. People get a little goosey. You've got to really stay the course and understand the information that exists and look at your community and say, hey, we still have a problem here. We still need to make investments. And we need to encourage our local governments as well as individuals in the community to continue to invest in the community because we have a need. And, you know, if you don't, it's if you think it's bad, it kind of becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. It gets bad if you pull in your horns and act like, you know, you got all these problems. I think the next 5 years in Ellis County are going to be fantastic if you look at all the large projects are going on and all the things that we've got happening. They're going to be great, but we need to step up to the plate and do some things to meet the housing needs and to meet some other needs, the infrastructure needs, in not only Hayes, but in Ellis and Victoria and those places, and use the tools that are available to try and ensure that we take advantage of this, what is a great opportunity.
For those that are interested in taking a look at this report, how will that be released to the community?
We're going to release it in two ways. We'll get it printed, and there'll be hard copies, which we'll distribute as best we can at our events, and we'll take them around to places. We'll also post it on our website in a PDF format and put it on a Facebook link to it and those kind of things. So it'll be readily available, and I think it's got some great information in it. I would encourage anybody to stop by our office and pick one up. We're still a couple weeks out. We gotta wrap up a few things with it and get it to the printer, but and then look for it on our website or on our Facebook page.
Very good. Doug, well, we've got just a little over a minute left. I wonder if we want to use that to talk about some of the things going on down there at Brief Space.
Well, we got a full house these days. We really do. We continue to have very strong usage. Doesn't mean we don't have room for somebody if they want to come in and use a spot or use one of our rooms for a business meeting or something like that. But we've really have had a strong first quarter of usage. I think without a doubt, the concept has really caught on, the co-working space concept, and we have more and more people using it as their permanent office instead of their room in their basement or renting someplace that costs a lot more than they really need, and yet in our environment, it gives you access to some resources that you just wouldn't have in your own office. You know, large meeting rooms, our podcast station, high-speed internet, you know, 1 gigabyte internet access, and just all the things that are available down there that you just wouldn't have in your own environment. So it's going great. We encourage people to come down and look. I'm amazed every day when people come in and say, "Hi, I've never been in here before," because I thought everybody had been in there, but that's not the case. But if you haven't been there and have any interest at all, stop by and see what we have to offer.